Senator Peters, welcome back to Stateside.
Oh, great to be with you.
So now that the U.S. Senate is on a pretty even partisan split, Democrats need all the votes they can to convict and an additional 17 Republicans to join the caucus. It's unclear if more than five or so Republicans are entertaining the idea of vote to convict at this point. What is the right argument to make in your estimation about why they should vote to impeach the leader of their own party?
Well, I think it's very clear. The facts are very clear that you had a president of the United States basically inciting an insurrection and an attack on the United States Capitol, a violent attack on the United States Capitol, something that we have not seen a U.S. president ever do. It's simply unacceptable. It needs to be called out, and the former president now needs to be held accountable for that behavior. And it's important for us to do that because we have to make sure we send a clear message to any future president that this type of behavior is simply unacceptable to the American people, and they will be held accountable.
I know that Senator Patrick Leahy was set to preside over the impeachment trial, but he was admitted to a hospital last night, not feeling well. Do you know anything more about his health and whether he plans to continue overseeing the proceedings?
Well, I understand he was released last night, and he's doing well. And at least I don't have any up-to-date information, but what I heard last, that he has every intent to continue to move forward, that he's okay. And we keep praying to make sure that that's the case.
Glad to hear he's all right. Republican Senator Rand Paul this week forced a vote on the constitutionality of the impeachment process. Not to confuse the Senate with the U.S. Supreme Court, but he was basically asking if the trial should go forward since Donald Trump is no longer president. What we learned from that vote is that there are 45 senators who agreed with Rand Paul that it's not constitutional. And so the two-thirds majority that would be needed in the Senate is unlikely. Knowing that, is it worth going through with the impeachment trial anyway?
It is for the reasons that I mentioned. We have to be very clear that this is not something that is acceptable. And, you know, I think it's interesting that the Republicans are not arguing the facts. I think they realize the facts are terrible, that you have a president who started immediately after the election, basically putting out a big lie that the election was stolen despite having no evidence whatsoever. And it was very clear as the days and weeks went by, there was no evidence of widespread fraud. And yet we had a president that continued to put that information out. And unfortunately, far too many elected Republican officials were putting out that information out as well, refused to acknowledge the truth. And when they were doing that, they were undermining the very foundation of our democracy, which is that we have fair and free elections. It is a dangerous talk they were engaged in right after the election. I was very outspoken by the fact that they continue to put out these falsehoods, continue to stoke anger, and that this was very dangerous behavior on the part of Republicans. And clearly that played out because that's exactly what happened. This dangerous rhetoric led to violence and an attack on the very citadel of our democracy, the United States Capitol. People died, folks were injured. And I think I speak for all Americans who are watching that happen. As folks were watching it, it wasn't just an attack on the men and women who work in the Capitol. It was truly an attack on our country, and it was an attack on all Americans. And so this is outrageous behavior. We need to call it out. We need to move forward. And they're making a process argument that, quite frankly, makes no sense. It defies common sense that someone who could be engaged in that behavior, and then if they simply resign or leave, that they are not held accountable. It's actually against precedent. The Congress in the past has impeached folks, even though they try to resign before impeachment. If they were guilty of basically criminal behavior while they were holding that office, they can subject to an impeachment. And part of that impeachment process is not just the removal of office. It's also the fact that they can never again run for federal office because of the behaviors that they are engaged in.
You're now chairing the Senate's Homeland Security Committee, which had been overseeing hearings on election integrity under then-chair Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. Are you planning to continue with those hearings?
Well, we will continue to do hearings on a variety of threats to the homeland security. Although right now my focus is dealing with the pandemic and our oversight responsibilities of FEMA, and that's to make sure the vaccine distribution is done more efficiently and that it's truly a national response. We have to get the vaccine into more arms and as quickly as possible. We need to push that aggressively through committee hearings and the oversight function. We also have to deal with cybersecurity threats. The government was just hit with a major and very damaging cyber attack by a state actor. We have to fortify those defenses. And we also have to deal with the rise of domestic terrorism and white supremacy in particular, something that has to be addressed. Despite efforts of mine over the last few years, no surprise, the Trump administration was simply unwilling to deal with the rise of white supremacist groups and domestic terrorism. That will be a focus of mine as chair of Homeland Security.
In other news, we hear that Majority Leader Schumer is likely to name you soon as chair of the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee. It's traditional for people in closely divided regions to hold this position. But I wanted to ask you, there are some progressives who want to see the Senate handled differently now. When you think ahead to the 2022 election and what Democrats could be doing right now to strengthen their position to pick up more Senate seats and possibly expand the majority in the Senate, do you think Democrats should treat the 50 seats like 60 seats and just go full steam ahead on agenda?
Well, there's no question that we have to make sure that we show to the American people that we're able to get things done in a way that helps everybody across our country. We've got to have a record of accomplishment. Right now, our number one focus has to be to get through this pandemic as quickly as possible. We have seen firsthand the mismanagement from the Trump administration. We are in much worse shape than we should be, given the lack of competence that we saw from the Trump administration. So I'm certainly focused to make sure that President Biden and his very aggressive posture to deal with this virus moves forward. And we have to demonstrate clearly to the American people that when Democrats have the reins of control, that we are competent and we're able to get things done as quickly as possible.
I know we have less than a minute to go, but this week brought so much very interesting news for the 2022 Senate races. And one piece of this is very close to home. Republican Rob Portman of Ohio is not running for re-election. Do you think that a second Democratic senator can win in Ohio, given that the state went for Donald Trump in the last two elections, and that the governor's office has been under Republican control since 2010?
Well, I think there's always opportunities to win seats, particularly if you're demonstrating to the American people that we have an agenda that makes a difference in their lives. And always an open seat is always one that presents more opportunities than one with an incumbent.
Are there candidates you have an eye on in Ohio?
I think there'll be a number of candidates that will come forward in the days and weeks ahead.
Do Democratic candidates in places like Ohio and Arizona have a chance if President Biden can't get his COVID agenda moved forward?
Well, I think right now I'm focused on getting the COVID agenda moving forward because the American people need it. We have folks who are still struggling to put food on the table, a roof over their head. We've got small businesses that are struggling to stay open. And there's no way we can get this economy up and running as quickly as any of us would like if our small businesses aren't able to survive. So our focus has to be on good policy. And good policy means working aggressively to get people on their feet and through this pandemic.
Senator Peters, thank you for your time.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.